Welcome to the weekly Transit Astrology Podcast, where we take a deep and introspective look at how the planets and stars are influencing us for the week ahead. This week, the theme is transformation of values. We also look at the astrological code of Rosa Parks, Mookie Betts, and answer questions from Sarah Kreutz, Haley Booth Forney, Cassandra, and Brianna. Stay tuned. Hi there. Welcome to the Weekly Transit Podcast. I'm Scott Tajarian here with my beloved Gabriella Durso. Many of you have heard me speak about her on the podcast. She's here with me now, hosting. Why don't you tell us who you are, Gabriella?
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for welcoming me to the space. And thank you to Scott for the introduction to join the podcast. Excited to be here. I think some of you know that I just graduated from a really beautiful master's program at a school called Pacifica Graduate Institute. And I graduated with a master's in counseling psychology with an emphasis on depth psychology. And I spent the better part of a year writing a thesis about the intersection between psychology and astrology. So it's been an area of interest of mine for even before I started the program. So I'm excited to join the podcast and get to have some conversations that might be able to intersect the two fields of study further.
Can you tell us a little bit about your thesis, what it was about specifically?
Sure. So in depth psychology, which is also known as Jungian psychology, based on the work of Carl Jung, a big theme in that work is it's called the process of individuation, which is essentially a process of becoming yourself. So becoming your most individuated, unique version of yourself. And in the therapy world, that often happens from separating from the group or from the family and kind of embarking out on your own and facing the world as an individual. And I was really interested in that concept because of my own personal astrology and my own relationship with individuality, but also because of my understanding of astrology and specifically the placement of the North Node and the importance of the North Node in the chart. I became curious about researching how astrology could help us understand the individuation process and how in a therapeutic space, we might be able to support our clients in understanding their individuation process more clearly. So the focus of the thesis is a parallel process between the North Node and the process of individuation and how they can really inform and support one another.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Awesome. So we're trying out new things with the podcast in terms of the structure. And I'm sure as we get more comfortable being here, we'll need to buy another microphone and, you know, just get everything set up. But as we get more comfortable, it will be a sort of open flow discussion of astrology, the planets, what's going on during the week or even beyond the week with the different transits, as well as looking at public figures who are maybe top of mind at the present time and looking at their astrological code. We also will be answering a lot of questions. So please reach out. I've got a backlog of questions to answer, but please feel free to reach out and ask any questions you have as it pertains to astrology. I am excited and happy to answer them for you here on the podcast. And we will also be interviewing people as well. But not today. It's just Gabriella and I. So anything else to add, Gabriella?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, it sounds good.
Okay, great.
Let's get started.
Yes. So this week, the week of October 30th to November 5th, the way we're going to go about this is we're not going to go day to day. We're going to give dates of when planets are going to be impacting in different ways, but not necessarily specific Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so on and so forth. So I want to look at it planet by planet and really sort of set the tone. When I think of astrology, I think of music. I think of a symphony. And you have one instrument playing one part, another instrument playing another part. If you hear it solely on its own, it may not sound like the song that you would recognize if you heard the whole symphony together. So what I hope to do each week is really sort of orchestrate the sounds of the planets and how they are influencing life on Earth, and more specifically, potentially for you. So I like to go from the outside in, thinking about the longer transiting planets, because these are the ones that are setting these longer tones. And it's like the oboe or the viola, maybe. I don't know. I'm just making up like instruments that I can think of. And, you know, they're playing like sort of the bass and the background vibe of the symphony, whereas the faster moving planets, they are more of like the violin or the flute or maybe even the piano.
So more the melody.
Yes. Yeah. More the melody. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gabriella. Mm-hmm. Yes. So let's begin with Pluto. Pluto is the god of death, lord of the underworld, the planet of transformation. It's symbolized by a circle of spirit on top of a cross of matter with a crescent of receptivity in between the circle of spirit and the cross of matter, symbolizing your eternal soul in the world of matter and the transformation that occurs within this construct. Pluto is transiting through Capricorn, where it's been since 2008, 2009. It is recently back into Capricorn because earlier this year, Pluto had transited into Aquarius, but is now retrograded back into Capricorn. It's now moving forward again, where it will be until January 20th, when it will move back into Aquarius for a short period. Well, about 9 months. And then it's back in Capricorn for 3 months next year, and then finally into Aquarius for the next 20 years. So this is wrapping up our transformation to authority. Capricorn is the cardinal earth sign symbolized by the goat and ruled by Saturn. Saturn is the god of wealth and time. If you are the god of wealth and time, then you are the authority. So, Pluto transformation, moving through Capricorn, has been transforming our relationship to authority since 08, 09. You think of all the different power structures, whether it be maybe a government or an individual, somebody who was in a position of power that was sort of tossed off the mountain, as the goat would be if it slips off and loses its perch in a position of authority. Because for whatever reason, they're not living in accordance with the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Maybe that's it. But this is an opportunity for each of us to hold ourselves accountable, to take responsibility for who we are. Who are you? And are you holding yourself accountable? Are you holding yourself accountable for what you want to achieve, your goals, your ambitions? So that's Pluto. And Pluto is there in Capricorn all the way until January 20th.
I think these Pluto transits are so powerful to really check in about regularly, mm-hmm. because Pluto is a slower moving planet. It's almost like that construction in your neighborhood that you don't know when it's ever going to end.
Totally.
And there are days where you're more aware of it, and then days where it kind of fades in the background, mm-hmm. but it's always working. You like to use this word like grinding on you to transform.
Totally. Yeah.
And I think of, this metaphor of like construction or building a house, like the Pluto energy is really, it's like you're changing the foundation. So if anyone's ever done construction on a home or, you know, a space you were living in, mm-hmm. it can be incredibly disruptive. It's literally the ground that you walk on. It's mm-hmm. the foundation. It's the earth itself, right? Capricorn as an earth sign.
It is, yes.
So just to understand, I think, the gravity of the transformation. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, transforming your values is something that can be really, it's almost like psychological construction. It's like it can be incredibly destabilizing. And it's really important to just be gentle, I think, with that process of maybe what is leaving. Mm-hmm. So maybe an awareness of things coming up right now. A clarity around what you don't value anymore might come first, mm-hmm. before you are able to replace it with a new understanding of what it is you do value. So there might be kind of a void.
Yes.
And I think,
I love that you're bringing up values and we're talking about transformation, because that's sort of the theme of the week is transformation of values. And we'll mm-hmm. get into more of why this is a period of transforming your values. But I'm curious of the listeners, those who are listening, what transformations have occurred with you in mm-hmm. terms of your relationship to authority, your relationship towards your goals, your ambitions over the last 14 years, 15 years that Pluto has been in Capricorn. The next planet is Neptune. Neptune is the god of fresh water and the sea, the planet of illusion, deception, compassion, and intuition. Neptune is transiting through the mutable water sign symbolized by the fish and ruled by Neptune as well as Jupiter. So Neptune's in a position of power because it's in the sign that it rules, Pisces. Neptune has been transiting through Pisces since 2011, 2012. This is creating a greater level of sensitivity in terms of your empathy towards other people. That can be uncomfortable. When you feel the suffering of others, it can be overwhelming. And Neptune, Pisces, these are the planet and the sign that represents drugs and alcohol, Netflix and chill, binge watching, phrases that didn't exist before 2011, 2012, the opioid epidemic, ballooned in the last 12 years. Mm-hmm. Cannabis is being legalized all over the place over the last 12 years. Why is this happening? The reason is because Neptune's here and people are uncomfortable feeling what other people are feeling, and they don't want to feel it. So I also think of how many Star Wars movies and how many Marvel or comic book movies have come out since 2011? I mean, you could go back probably 30, 40 years before 2011 and all the comic book Star Wars movies that came out from, let's say, 1981 to 2011 is dwarfed by the amount that came out between 2011 and now. Because people are looking to escape. They want to escape their reality. But what we need to do is go within. And it's very interesting that you, Gabriella, decided to become a therapist during this period. And what's the one thing? Well, I'll answer my own question because I hear it all the time. When people ask you, or when they ask you what you do and you say you're a therapist, the number one thing that I hear from people talking to you is, oh my God, well, we need more of those. Mm-hmm. There's a need for that because there's a lot going on within ourselves. Like when you're feeling that urge to escape, you're feeling it because you've come into contact with somebody who, I'm going to use a word of the day that you hear a lot today that you didn't hear in this way before 2011, but you've come into contact with somebody who has triggered you, and there's something about them that is stimulating something within yourself that is agitating you. And so rather than looking at why you're triggered, you may drink some alcohol, smoke some weed, watch Netflix binging or any sort of fantasy, even like doom scrolling or Instagram scrolling or pornography. These are all elements of fantasy to help move you away from the feelings of your present reality that are going on within the unconscious.
Well, it's interesting. I think there's kind of a split response when I share with people that I'm just meeting that I'm a therapist, or maybe people I've just lost touch with. And it is sort of twofold. There are the people who, like you're saying, are excited and feel like they really recognize that need in the world. Mm-hmm. But I would say the majority of people actually kind of start to close up because of that potential, because of the potential for transformation, I think that therapy can bring about. They immediately, kind of knowing that I'm in that space, I feel a withdrawal from them, or, you know, maybe a fear that I might be analyzing them, or I might be,
like, you're going to get under my skin or into my head. You're judging me now or something.
Right. Like I'm, you know, a therapist 24/7, which of course I'm not.
No, you are not.
That's my work life, but it's interesting what that brings up.
Yes.
That immediate sort of, I think it's that maybe fear of transformation or the shadow side of, you know, what it means to transform, which is that there is a death component. You're letting go of something. So something in you is dying.
Yes.
And I wonder if that's why, you know, we need this Neptunian energy to help with the transformation.
Absolutely.
We need a little bit of the fantasy.
Absolutely.
We need a little bit of the sugar to help the medicine go down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's why we're given, what, like 14 years? Neptune's not going to fully be out of Pisces. It dips out in 25, but it doesn't fully move out until 26. So we still got another 2-3 years of Neptune in Pisces. And the reason why, I think, to answer like what you had kind of proposed here is like what are people maybe escaping from? And another word that is big in our common lexicon at this point in time, it's not a new word, but the way that it's been used since 2011 is new, and it is directly pertained to Neptune transiting through Pisces. And the word is woke. Because people don't want to wake up. And Pisces, Neptune, This is the sign and planet that represents dreams. And so we're in this sort of fantasy of what we think the world is, and we've been unceremoniously woken up over the last 12 years. Mm-hmm. So through waking up, and it is a gradual thing, you know, you need some sugar, or you need some sort of fantasy to help the medicine go down. The key is to find time to go within yourself, to delve into your unconscious, face the demons within you that are carrying your psychological baggage, the guilt, the shame, the regret, the blame, and show yourself compassion. Compassion is a key word to Pisces and Neptune. Show yourself compassion so you can integrate these thought patterns and memories with understanding, forgiveness, and love for yourself.
So we're simultaneously being asked to let part of ourselves die and then another part of ourselves to wake up.
Yes. Yes.
So it's just one of the many paradoxes of human life. And to do it all as gracefully as possible, right? Which is, we can see by the state of the world right now, is a tall order.
And it absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And I want to also point out some degrees. Like, if you're somebody who's versed in astrology, or maybe you're just learning and you want to get a clearer idea of how these planets will be or are impacting you directly. Right now, Pluto's transiting at 27 degrees in Capricorn. So that means if you have any key points or planets, and when I say key points, I mean your ascendant, your midheaven, your north and south nodes. If any of those points are at or near to 27 degrees in earth signs, water signs, or cardinal signs, then you are experiencing a direct transformation to whatever that planet or key point is. So for instance, if you were born with Venus in Scorpio at 27 degrees, then you're going through some sort of transformation to your relationship energy and your sense of values. Neptune is transiting at 25 degrees retrograde in Pisces. So if you were born with any key points or planets in water signs, earth signs, or mutable signs, then you are being called to reimagine the dream. You may be experiencing a loss of faith. Like if you were born with Venus at 25 degrees in Gemini, then you may be losing faith in terms of your relationship or what relationships mean to you or your sense of values, your sense of self-worth. So moving on to Uranus, the planet of revolution, rebellion, innovation, independence, and the unexpected, is at 21 degrees retrograde in Taurus. Taurus is the fixed earth sign symbolized by the bull, ruled by Venus, the goddess of love and beauty, the planet of relationships. And I think I said everything I needed to say about Taurus. So Uranus has been in Taurus since March of 2019. I remember I was over at your house. It was the beginning of our relationship, and there was a crazy thunderstorm. Do you remember that?
Yes, of course.
In Southern California. You could literally...
Was the power out?
I think the power went out. And I was like, oh my God, this is Uranus moving into Taurus. But you could Google Santa Barbara Stearns Wharf, March 2019, and there are some spectacular photos of the lightning that was striking all over Santa Barbara, but it was down in LA too where we were. But it was a wake-up call. And we're all experiencing this wake-up call in some way, shape, or form since then, as the planet of revolution transits through the stable sign of the bull. fixed earth.
And like, the bull doesn't like change.
No, it's, well, it doesn't want to be moved either. Like when you think of the bull, I think of like somebody branding a bull, and like the bull is going to jump and, you know, those sorts of things. It's going to, it's feeling agitated. So Uranus is the planetary ruler of Aquarius. Aquarius is fixed air. Taurus is fixed earth. Both fixed, they make a strong aspect, but air and earth don't mix, so that creates tension. So the fact that Uranus is transiting through Taurus is like if your enemy somehow was living in your house, like you had gone out of town and and you find out through like the cameras in your house, if you have cameras in your house, like you see like your most hated person in your life, your arch enemy is living, sleeping in your bed. That's what Uranus is doing to Taurus right now. And when you think about the last time Uranus was in Taurus was 1935 to 1942, which was during the Great Depression in World War II. The time before that was 1851 to 1858, which was during the gold rush. That was a period when people were so desperate that they traveled thousands of miles in a horse and buggy to put a pan in water and hope that gold would appear. In during the Great Depression in World War II, there were other migrations that occurred, some from poverty, some from genocide. People were moving in mass. And what have we seen since 2019? How many people do you know who have moved a city, a state, a country since 2019? So this is shaking up our sense of what do you value? Like what's really important to you? If the house is burning down, what are you grabbing?
Well, and a big part of what you value is where you live or how you live.
Exactly.
The circumstances of your space, your personal space.
Yes.
Yeah.
The whole point of this transit is to help you find financial independence, where you can sort of boil everything down to what is truly important to me and what don't I need that I'm like sort of holding on to, but I don't need it. You get rid of that, and then suddenly you don't need as much money. And like when you think about what happened during COVID, how so many people didn't go back to their jobs. It's like they realized like, you know what, I don't, maybe I'm willing to work for less money so that I can have a greater quality of life, because I'm really working hard at my job and I feel like I spend money just to sort of put some sugar over the medicine, like you were saying, where it's like you just buy stuff because you hate your job and buying stuff makes you feel better. Maybe if you weren't buying all the stuff that you don't really care about and you don't need, then you wouldn't need to make as much money. That's sort of the psychological shift, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Because money, how you spend your money is
energy.
An important, it's energy. Yeah, it's an important indicator of the things that you value. I think sometimes as consumers who might not like the way certain things are headed in the world might feel kind of lost and like we don't have power. But every time you make a purchase, you're voting, essentially.
Yes.
So you're voting for something that you care about or something that you don't care about.
Absolutely.
So being more conscious around money, I think, is part of the transformation too. Not just the mindless spending of not only things that aren't really serving you, but just the awareness of what it is you are spending money on and the fact that you are voting. You know, because at the end of the day, companies need people to be consumers and to make purchases. So if you start to change your values around how much you want to buy or the quality of what you want to buy, like quality over quantity is what I'm hearing you talk about.
Yes. What truly you value.
What do you value?
Yes.
Honestly, these, I think we underestimate the power of those choices to really create change on a fundamental level.
When you mention voting with your dollars, the first person that comes to my mind is Rosa Parks. Mm-hmm. She was like the ultimate sort of force that changed society with the dollar. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was tired of being forced to sit in the back of the bus. So she got all the other people that were riding the bus to boycott the bus. And we're like, we're not riding your bus anymore until we can sit wherever we want to sit. Mm-hmm. And Rosa Parks, who's an Aquarius sun, so very community-minded, Capricorn moon, Capricorn rising, very driven, very ambitious. I mean, who's... And Aquarius is a sign of genius. And so that's a genius idea. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is a group of people that were suppressed. And they were like, you know what, if we band together, and she led them, she has like, what, four planets in the first house, including mm-hmm. Mars conjunct the ascendant, which is in the 12th house, but it's still conjunct the ascendant. So a natural leader, she was able to organize and get everybody to not ride the bus. And the bus was like, okay, we gotta change our policy.
We need consumers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're driving around empty buses and we're not making any money. So uh-huh. we have to bend to their will. Mm-hmm. And so that is the power of the community. And so when you think of Aquarius or Uranus in Taurus, that's about bringing your sense of individualism and your sense of community to values. Mm-hmm. Uranus is transiting at 21 degrees retrograde in Taurus. So if you have any key astrological points or planets at or near to 21 degrees in earth signs, water signs, or fixed signs, then you may be going through a wake-up call. For instance, if you were born with Venus in Aquarius, which would be like the inverse of Uranus in Taurus, Venus in Aquarius is like your worst enemy sleeping in your bed while you're away on vacation. So Venus, if you were born with Venus at 21 degrees in Aquarius, it's squaring Uranus, which would mean that maybe you're going through an unexpected breakup or some sort of wake-up call to your relationship energy. Mm. Chiron, the wound, and ancient wisdom that is unlocked through healing that wound, is transiting retrograde also at 16 degrees in Aries. This is a transit that is all about helping you face your fears, your insecurities. And through having the courage to face your fears and insecurities, you will find the wisdom that is rooted in self-love, courage, confidence, and authenticity. Hmm.
I always think with Chiron, and we were talking about this the other day, the wound is also the wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so although it can be really painful when these Chiron transits are... like you use this word trigger. Mm-hmm. There's this agitation. There's this wound that's been reopened, or somehow an awareness of the wound is stronger. That part of why that's happening is because there's wisdom to find through the wound. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes that doesn't always manifest this literally for people, but it can directly impact your soul's purpose, the work you're here to do. Oftentimes, when you're able to transform the wound into wisdom, mm-hmm. it gives you that feeling in your work life of really being so guided and deeply attuned to what it is you're here to do. Mm-hmm. So many people are suffering because they don't have meaningful work, and work is such an important part of human life. Mm-hmm. Of course, we need money to live. But also we need purpose. We mm-hmm. need something that we're excited to do when we wake up in the morning.
Yes.
And I think a big piece of this is needing to find this connection from the wound to the wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's like a child that is told not to touch the pot because it's too hot, but then does. and is wounded, but then learns the wisdom of not touching something that's hot or listening to your elders when they try to warn you that you're going to hurt yourself, and so don't do that. We learn wisdom through the wound. And to be born on this earth is a wound in and of itself. You know, like you're born in blood, and it's not easy, a transition coming here. So if you were born with, say, Chiron in Capricorn, it's 16 degrees, you may be experiencing a very difficult transformation or restructuring to your relationship to authority, the fears that you may have surrounding authority or approaching authority. But any key points or planets that are at 16 degrees in fire signs, air signs, or cardinal signs are really, the scab is being peeled off and the wound is being exposed, and you're being given an opportunity to heal deeper and to really tap into the wisdom that you were born with.
And it's a long process.
Yes.
You know, we've just distilled it there in about 2 minutes, but often that Chiron wound, that wound that you feel you can't recover from, as you say, is what brings people to therapy or brings people to any form of self-help that they've decided might be supportive of them. Yes. And so it's a long process. You know, before you can transform the wound, you have to face the wound. You have to be willing to look at the wound. You have to even acknowledge that there is a wound.
Yes.
So there's so much that goes into, you know, the eventual transformation that is possible. You know, no matter where you are in your process of facing the wound or acknowledging the wound, you know, you might not be clear on what your wound is.
Exactly.
So there are many sort of layers and levels of that process.
And that's why it takes 50 years for Chiron to return to where it was when you were born. So if you're 50 or nearing 50, then you're nearing your Chiron return. And at that point, hopefully you've learned from the wound and you've tapped into the wisdom, because you've had that entire transit of Chiron moving all the way through every single sign, and it takes years. You know, the last time Chiron was in Aries was what moved in on April 4th, 1968, the day that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, and that created a deep wound and insecurity. And it was there until 1977. So 1968 to 1977, that was during multiple assassinations and impeachment, war, Vietnam War. Sound familiar to this time now? I mean, that's what we're living in. So, and we've got a few more years of Chiron in Aries, and that's an opportunity for all of us to really face our fears, our insecurities, and hopefully fall in love with ourselves. Saturn, the god of wealth and time, the planet of restriction, responsibility, hard work, achievement, and authority, is transiting retrograde at 0 degrees in Pisces. The retrograde ends this week. Saturn began its retrograde on June 17th at about 7 degrees. It was at 7 degrees, and it's scrolled back to 0 degrees. This is where Saturn was on March 11th. So the retrograde ends this week, and Saturn is back to where it was at the beginning of its transit through Pisces, which is charging us to commit to doing the work required to trust our intuition. And when things don't go the way that you hoped or expected them to go, to show yourself compassion. and to show empathy to the others who are involved. But ultimately, it's about committing to doing the work required to have faith that everything that's occurring, no matter how good, how bad, or ugly it may be, is somehow, some way in your highest good.
Not an easy task.
That
can be a tall order. Absolutely.
Yeah, not an easy task. Yeah.
That's when maybe some of that escapism comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Needing some sugar, needing some sweetness or some entertainment.
This is where the dream becomes real.
Mm-hmm.
The reality of the dream, it becomes real.
Mm-hmm.
Dreams may be very powerful during this time. They may be shockingly powerful. At the same time, you may also not be dreaming at all.
Mm.
But this is a long transit, 3 years. Saturn doesn't move out of Aries until 2025 when it joins Neptune, also in Aries, and then they move back to Pisces, and then they move forward to Aries in 2026. So we really want to do some deep digging within our unconscious over the next 2 years, because by the time we get to 25 and 26, all the psychological baggage that hasn't been dealt with is going to be pushed into the middle of the road like a dumpster and lit on fire. So now's the time to commit to doing that inner work.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned dreams, and dreams play a really important role in Jungian psychology.
Mm-hmm.
The dreams are really giving you access to that direct line to your unconscious.
Yes.
And oftentimes we have these dreams where they don't seem to come to fruition, or they're cut off somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're running and then you wake up, or, you know, something is cut off. It's really important to spend some time thinking about your dreams, you know, write them down if you can, and then take a break and come back to them. You know, you can't be in a constant state of transformation or facing the shadow all the time.
No.
So right. You need to kind of titrate back and forth and give yourself an opportunity, you know, to approach that work when you're feeling balanced and feeling well enough to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do the work. You can't really do that work when you're dysregulated.
Right.
So that's so
when you're dysregulated, that's when it's time to have a glass of wine and binge watch a show, maybe?
I'm not recommending alcohol per se.
Yeah.
But there are other ways of taking a break, or titrating is like what we call it in the therapy world. So
what is that?
You might, like if you're in a session with your therapist, you might not be talking about your deepest, darkest trauma for an entire hour straight.
Mm-hmm.
You might talk about it for a few minutes and then jump to something else and then come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's called titrating.
Okay.
You take a break.
Yeah.
You take a break and you come back to it. And that also helps you get perspective too. If you're down, you know, if you've descended down into a dark well, you know, you lose your perspective when you're down there for too long.
Yes.
You do want to take breaks.
Yes. Okay.
But your dreams are showing you, you know, where you are in that process of transformation. Because what you remember from your dreams is a direct connection to what you're able to face in your conscious life. So if you're being chased in a dream, for example, and you don't know what's chasing you yet in your dream, it's because you're not ready to know.
Mm.
So there are ways that you can work with that awareness.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you are really ready to know kind of what it is in the shadow.
So what you remember from your dreams is kind of like pulling up what it is you need to face in your unconscious right now.
It is, and it's showing you actually where the edge is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the best thing to do when you really want to push a little bit further, if you feel, you know, emotionally stable enough to do so. You know, I think of it as like, what would you do in a yoga class? Like, you would find the point where you, that point where you can't stretch anymore, you would hold it.
Yeah.
You're not going to push yourself further and pull a muscle.
Right.
You're just going to hold that tension and do the best you can to breathe into the tension and relax. So it's the same with the dream work.
And what about, you've told me before that in a dream, like, you're every person in the dream.
Well, there are different perspectives on how to interpret dreams. So, like, I had one really brilliant professor of mine. She was really against any kind of dream interpretation because she said the conscious mind cannot interpret the unconscious. That was sort of her baseline. But I've had some of my personal therapists that I've worked with who were comfortable with dream interpretation. And so I think it's a fine line. You know, I think it's the ego that wants to be able to wrap up everything in a bow, and that's not always possible. But just my personal view is that we can make some interpretations about dreams. And so one perspective, yes, is that because it's your psyche, that every character per se in the dream represents a part of you. So if you're running from something, you're running from a part of yourself. That's one way to interpret it. Some people have dreams that are prophetic, that are actually about people in their lives.
Yes.
So that's another interpretation. So some of it is knowing your own relationship with dreams and how you dream. And you can also set intentions for how you'd like to dream too, which is a whole other conversation. But it's different for everybody. It's complex.
Absolutely. And we're astrologically getting like sort of a crash course with Neptune in Pisces and now Saturn as well. And so Saturn isn't moving out of its retrograde shadow until February 7th. At that point, it will be at the same place that it was on June 17th. It will be at the same place that it was on June 17th. So if you have key astrological points or planets at or near to or somewhere between 0 degrees in any earth sign, water sign, or mutable sign, but even all the way to 7 degrees, just thinking back since June and since March 11th, any key astrological points or planets between 0 and 7 degrees, 0 degrees where Saturn is right now and 7 degrees where it was when it began its retrograde on June 17th, you are needing to take responsibility or hold yourself accountable. For instance, if you were born with Venus at 0 degrees in Sagittarius, you may be in the midst of really learning some difficult lessons when it comes to relationships. But the more that you commit to doing the work required to hone in on the work that needs to be done in the relationship energy for you, the more that you will receive the reward, the more you will receive the reward once Saturn moves past that point.
So the work you do is proportional to the reward.
Yes. Yes, that's Saturn, the god of wealth and time. You do the work, you get the reward. You don't, you're punished.
Well, that's hopeful.
Yeah.
Well, and I think too, if you're someone who's not ready to do the work, or let's say you're avoiding the work, you'll get another chance to do the work. You'll get a reminder.
Yes.
The reminders might get stronger and stronger and more uncomfortable. But that's what I love about the cyclical nature of the planets, is you always get another chance.
Well, when you think about it, if you were born with, let's say, Venus was at like 4 degrees in Sagittarius. That means that Saturn's already crossed over once when it was moving forward, and you got that first, maybe most difficult lesson because it was really shocking and like, oh, I'm feeling restricted and like the weight of the world is on me in terms of relationships. But then Saturn moved to 7 degrees, kind of let up a little bit, but then came back to 4 degrees as it retrograded back. And it's like, oh, this again. But now you're a little more prepared because of the experience that you had when Saturn was first at 4 degrees in Pisces. Now is going to be the third time as Saturn moves forward, it will move to 4 degrees in Pisces sometime in January. So by January, you'll be getting that lesson a third time. And by then, you've had like the abrupt first time, the second time, where you're kind of figuring things out. And then by the third time, hopefully you have mastered whatever the lesson is. And that's what Saturn ultimately wants, is wants to turn you into a master, into an authority.
It's interesting to think about things living in three cycles like that in terms of lessons. I feel like I've had some experiences like that. Maybe the first time you learn the lesson is when you actually make the mistake per se. The second time you might be tempted to make the mistake, but you don't. And then the third time you see the opportunity, but there's no temptation anymore.
Wow. I love that.
I've had so many experiences that are like that.
Yes.
Like when you feel like you're being tested, sometimes there is a thread that's carrying through where it's like you're testing yourself. Like you're becoming a witness to your own ability to learn the lesson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's really powerful.
Wow. Amazing. I love it. Jupiter, the god of thunder, lord of justice, the planet of luck and expansion, moves retrograde back from 11 to 10 degrees in Taurus, same sign as Uranus. Jupiter, this retrograde transit through Taurus. When Jupiter moved into Taurus, it maybe you felt like abundant, like, oh my God, money's flush and it's flowing in. And now Jupiter's moving retrograde and it can feel like everything is funneling out of your bank account. But what's happening here is it's expanding your relationship to money, the material, your self-worth and values, like we were talking about with Uranus. Uranus is the wake-up call, and Jupiter is the amplifier. It's amplifying the wake-up call. So it's really pushing you to take a look at your relationship to the material, your self-worth, and your values.
I think this is a little bit like, as you're describing that, I have this image of like the tide comes in and the tide goes out. So there is this ebb and flow with everything in life that we see reflected in the way that the planets are moving.
Totally.
And I think there's wisdom in being able to stay regulated or hold a certain frequency when the tide is out and trusting that it will come back in.
Yes.
So there's a lesson. I think in a lot of this, there's a lesson around fear and scarcity and there's a lot that comes up.
Yeah. It's here's an example. There is a player for the Dodgers, the baseball team, Mookie Betts. He in August was on fire. He was hitting like over 400, over like 450. Nobody hits over 400, and he was hitting over 450. Just on fire. And I looked at where the planets were when he was born, and I looked at where Jupiter was. I'm like, wow, Jupiter's hitting like three different points in his chart. I wonder what's going to happen when Jupiter starts to turn retrograde. Will it change his luck? And sure enough, it did. And the Dodgers, and it's not Mookie Betts' fault, it's a team, but he barely hit in the playoffs. The Dodgers were bounced out in the first round. His luck totally changed. because Jupiter was back in the same spot that it was giving him so much in August, but this time it was retrograde. So it's like, that which giveth also taketh away. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so if you're feeling like Jupiter's taking from you, you've got to just manage everything that you have right now, because Jupiter mm-hmm. is going to come back in the same spots that it was taking away from you, will start giving back to you in the way that it was before, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is fundamentally a planet of expansion and mm-hmm. contraction.
Yes.
Which is essentially the birthing experience is expanding and contract. That's what contractions are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the way that we came into the world is representative of this energy.
Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. And Jupiter is joyful. It feels good, but mm-hmm. the tide rolls in, the tide rolls out. Mm-hmm. The sun comes up, the sun comes down. So you want to manage your expectations when Jupiter is flush and really giving to you. And you want to manage the downside as well when it's taking away with equal force.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Venus. So here we're going to get to the point where, so we're talking about transformation of values. And the reason why we're talking about transformation of values is because there are three planets transiting through Scorpio. Scorpio is the fixed water sign symbolized by the scorpion and ruled by Mars and Pluto. We've been talking about Pluto, but now let's integrate Mars. Mars is one of the three planets that is transiting through Scorpio. Mars is the god of war, the planet of action, aggression, and conflict. Mercury is also transiting through Scorpio. Mercury is transiting from 13 to 23 degrees in Scorpio this week. Mars is transiting from 12 to 17 degrees in Scorpio this week. Mercury is the messenger of the gods, guide of souls to the underworld, the planet of consciousness, communication, and coordination. The sun is transiting from 6 to 13 degrees in Scorpio. The sun is the giver of light, life, and vitality. So having the sun, vitality, Mercury, the mind, Mars, action, and planetary ruler of Scorpio, there is our transformation is being facilitated right now. It's embracing the transformation. You talked about childbirth. If you're birthing a child, you're not just laying back and waiting for it to slip on out. They tell you to push. So we're going through this very intense period of transformation. The more you resist the transformation, the more difficult the inevitable transformation will be. No matter how uncomfortable it is to push forward, you have to push out the baby. You cannot hold it in or just wait for it to come out on its own. You have to be a part of it and push. So if you feel like you are dying right now, it's because you are transforming. And so lean into the death energy and transform. Allow yourself to become a different person from who you were before. We're all growing, we're all evolving. And so this is about really embracing the transformation and pushing through it. Now, the reason why values is a key is because, well, we just had the lunar eclipse in Taurus, which was last Saturday on the 28th. The week begins with the moon still in Taurus, but we also have Jupiter in Taurus and Uranus in Taurus. The moon is the planet of emotion. So three planets at the beginning of the week transiting through Taurus, three planets in Scorpio, Scorpio's transformation, Taurus's values. So think about the people that you are intimate with, the people that you share your secrets, your body, your money with. do their values honor, respect, or reflect your values? And if not, what frequencies within these bonds would you like to transform? And if you are unable to transform them because you need a co-partner, somebody who is willing to go through and move through the transformation with you, if they are an unwilling participant, then it might be time to end the relationship. And that's what's difficult. If you end a relationship, you feel like you're dying. Even if you end a part of a relationship, it feels like a death, and it can be very uncomfortable.
It is a death.
It is.
Well, this circles back to the beginning when we were talking about the void.
Mm-hmm.
When you let go of something, sometimes there's nothing else to fill that space right away.
Mm-hmm.
So you're left with that experience of just holding. You're never holding nothing, but right. there's a void in that particular area. Might mean for different people is going to depend on their chart. Is that accurate?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
And so the specifics of like what pushing might mean varies from person to person.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Because right. different people take different actions in different ways. And it's something that we could discern from their chart for mm-hmm. sure.
Okay.
Venus is also transiting through Virgo this week, the mutable earth sign symbolized by the Virgin and ruled by Mercury. So Venus in Virgo, Virgo rules the intestines, and the intestines are that organ in the body that eliminates whatever's in the body that is no longer serving the body. So part of that transformation that is occurring is really kind of doing your analytics in terms of what does this relationship bring to me? Hmm. What do I bring to the relationship? Are there things within this relationship? Are there dynamics within this relationship that are not serving me or not serving the other? It's the opportunity is to eliminate whatever frequencies exist within the relationship that are no longer serving either you or the other individual. And the Scorpio energy is helping facilitate that transformation.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a process of like determining what stays and what goes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's yes. a process of discernment.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. and what stays and what goes is based on what you value mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. what your partner values, whether it's a lover, a friend, a business partner. So the moon moves from Taurus into Gemini and then Cancer and then Leo to close the week. And the sort of shift from sign to sign goes from your values to curiosity about other people. And what do they value? What can I learn from others that satisfies my emotional curiosity? That's when the moon is in Gemini. And then when the moon moves into Cancer, we've gone through our values, we've learned from other people, and now we can take what is important to us and nurture it, be kind and caring to it, and sort of cultivate whatever it is we want to bring to the next stage, which is Leo, which is creativity. And if you're creative, and we're all creative beings, you're going to create something that you value, that maybe is informed by others, but has been nurtured by you. And so think of those themes through the week. What do I value? What do I want to learn? What do I want to nurture? And what do I want to create? Now there's some key alignments for the week. And so Monday through Wednesday is when Venus in Virgo is forming a trine, which is a positive aspect to Uranus in Taurus. This is going to be most impactful Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, where there may be unexpected shifts in relationship. for the purpose of greater independence within the dynamic of relationships. And then as we move to the sun is forming in opposition to Jupiter, the sun in Scorpio, Jupiter in Taurus at 10 degrees from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there is going to be some expansion in terms of values and the intimate bonds that these expansion of the intimate bonds and the values that exist within these intimate bonds. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with Venus trine Uranus is the wake-up call in terms of values. What do I value? What do I want to eliminate? What do I want to cleanse? And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the sun opposition, the sun opposite Jupiter is giving an expanded look at your intimate bonds and the values that exist between you and those that you're in relationship with. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Venus forms an opposition to Neptune. So these oppositions create a lot of tension. The sun opposite Jupiter, Venus opposite Neptune. Maybe by the end of the week, by Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're realizing that you've been a little too critical or maybe analytical in terms of your relationships, and you need to temper that with some compassion and empathy with Neptune. Friday, yeah, did you have a thought?
I did.
Yeah,
I just wanted to like drop in for a minute about the tension that you're mentioning. Because I think this is just important to speak to, that the what creates transformation is actually to just hold that tension. And it's like we said with the stretching, like that's what allows you to move forward.
Yes. And it's opening something up.
It's opening something.
Yeah.
And that's what allows for psychological transformation as well, is when you're experiencing, we're all experiencing tension between, you know, tension in our conscious life and then the tension between the conscious and the unconscious. And so what allows that transformation is the holding and just the being with the tension.
Yes. Sitting with the discomfort.
Sitting with the discomfort.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think it's just important to balance how much you are dipping into kind of the sweetness. You know, you want to really be honest with yourself about what your capacity is and what your threshold is. And that's something really only each of us knows for ourselves. So there's kind of some, you know, reparenting that you might need to do with yourself to really get honest about where that threshold is. I can push a little more here. Okay, I need to stop pushing. But holding that tension is really what's going to help you transform.
Wow. Well, there's more transformation that occurs with another opposition on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is when Mercury in Scorpio forms an opposition to Uranus in Taurus. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Venus is aligning with Uranus in a trine, which is more harmonious or supportive. Then we get the opposition between the sun in Scorpio and Jupiter in Taurus. Then Venus opposes Neptune. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday is when Mercury, the planet of the conscious mind, opposes Uranus, the genius planet, the planet of revolution, rebellion, innovation, independence, the unexpected. So maybe everything that you've learned through the week, you're having sort of a outside the box conversation with whoever you are in partnership with, whoever you are intimate with, whether it's a lover, a friend, or a business partner. You've been holding that tension, as you said. You've been holding the tension. And now there's more tension. And because you've been holding this tension, now you're maybe you're having conversations that you're like, I can't believe that we're talking about this. Mm. And it might be uncomfortable, but it also might feel really good to finally get some secrets or some feelings out in the open that have been.
Yeah. Well, and just to acknowledge the tension that's already there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to speak about what has been unspoken mm-hmm. can feel really cathartic.
Yes. And yeah. And just to give you a little more of a push, mm-hmm. a little more of a push is Saturday and Sunday, the moon in Leo will be squaring the sun in Scorpio. So mm. when you go outside and you see that half moon, that's the tension between mm-hmm. light and shadow. And the moon in Leo, the fixed fire sign symbolized by the lion, ruled by the sun, is all about opening your heart on an emotional level and expressing your feelings boldly, courageously. That kind of flies in the face of the sun, the planetary ruler of Leo in Scorpio, which is about secrets. Mm. And the lion is loud. You can hear a lion roar for miles around. A scorpion doesn't make a sound. So there's a lot of tension yeah. on Saturday and Sunday that will hopefully open up your heart. And as difficult as it may be, you'll be able to have the conversations that you need to have with those that you're most intimate with.
So it's really the tension in some ways, it's the tension between what you show, which would be that Leo energy, mm-hmm. and what you decide not to show, which yes. is that Scorpio energy, yes. which is really a choice that everyone has to make every day,
mm-hmm.
is what are you going to let into your public life versus what is going to remain a part of your private life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's being magnified on a larger scale.
Yes. Wow. What a week.
What a week. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Well,
that's all.
So by the end, you have this transformation of values. Yeah. But I do want to answer a couple questions.
Yeah, let's do it.
So this question came from Sarah Kreutz. I hope I'm saying that right, Sarah. Sarah says, I have a Pisces moon at the 28th degree, and I feel like my gut intuition and emotional capacity is more advanced than other people. Could this placement have to do with that? I'm a Virgo sun, Leo rising. I would say yes, Sarah, absolutely. You know, Pisces is the final sign of the zodiac. It carries the weight of the 11 previous signs. So on an emotional level, you feel the pain and suffering of everyone around you and beyond. Even, you know, if you're watching the news and you see bad things happening on the news, it really can stir you up emotionally. And you have a very powerful emotional intuition, absolutely. It's just important for you to protect yourself energetically, because people that are suffering and maybe dumping their suffering on you, or maybe they're not even trying to dump their suffering on you, but you just sense it happening around you, you might take it on as your own, even though it's not yours to take mm-hmm. on. It's not your burden to carry. So I really encourage you to wear crystals and to cleanse yourself energetically. Sage, Palo Santo, saying prayers, call out to your angels, your spirit guides, and have them rally around you at all times, because you have a very powerful moon that is very compassionate. And as a Leo rising, the thing about that is a Leo rising, when you're around people you don't know in situations where you're uncomfortable, places where you're unfamiliar, if you ever feel threatened, you are like the sun. So you're showing so much to people when you're uncomfortable, and that draws them in and allows them to tap into your emotions. So really do the work to protect yourself. I hope that's helpful to you, Sarah.
Hmm. I think too, couldn't that Leo rising also be giving her some of that courage to follow her intuition?
For
like
sure.
She has this, the Pisces moon mm-hmm. is incredibly connected to the intuition.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Virgo sun is helping to sort of make that practical or determine like how the intuition needs to be brought into like a material space.
For sure.
And then the Leo energy is allowing some confidence.
Well, if Sarah's a Virgo sun in the Leo rising, chances are the sun's going to be in the second house. It might be in the first house, but it's probably in the second house.
Mm-hmm.
This is my guess. That would make her very practical. If it's in the first house, very courageous. The Leo rising, the moon is probably in the eighth house, I'm guessing, which would mean very psychic, powerful awareness on an emotional mm-hmm. level, but also hidden emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Leo definitely adds that courage. And so it's about melding the courage and the compassion and the practicality, like you're saying.
And the Virgo is helping, like you talked about Virgo and the intestines, it's helping determine what to keep and what not to keep.
Yes.
So the Virgo is helping maybe with some of that desire to show it all when there's discomfort is possibly tempered a bit by the Virgo energy that's helping, well, I'm going to maybe reserve this.
Yeah.
This part here.
Yes. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. Love beautiful.
This question is from Haley Booth Forney. Hi, I have a question about the North Node. My North Node is in Taurus in the ninth house. Venus is also conjunct with my North Node. Do you know what sort of impact this creates? So Venus is the planetary ruler of Taurus. So your Venus is in a position of power because it's in the sign that it rules. It means that your senses are very powerful, Haley. Your sense of like and dislike and what you value in terms of relationships especially is very powerful. The conjunction with the North Node, your North Node is in Taurus in the ninth house. The ninth house is the house of philosophy, which represents freedom, adventure, honesty, exploration, spirituality, higher learning, religion. So the North Node in the ninth house in Taurus, you're here to focus on the here and now. Mm-hmm. And Venus is helping you be here now. It's helping you find friends, lovers, business partners that honor, respect, or reflect your values. You're here to enjoy the five physical senses, to cultivate your sense of like and dislike in terms of the five physical senses. Mm-hmm. You want to create healthy boundaries, especially within relationships, because you may have a tendency to get drawn into the chaos of others with that South Node in Scorpio. It's like getting involved in other people's business. Don't do that. Focus on your own business. Focus on your money. Build your nest egg, your wealth, so that you feel free, free to explore, free to travel, free to live a life of adventure, and find friends that honor, reflect, and respect your values, respect your boundaries. And they want to travel with you. They want to be on a journey with you through life, spiritual or in the real.
Mm-hmm. And Taurus too is about being in physical reality, right? Versus
exactly.
Scorpio.
Taurus is the five physical senses. Mm-hmm. Scorpio is the sixth sense. So you are probably very psychic, but you want to focus on what you can see, taste, touch, and feel. And smell, feel and touch are the same thing. So see, taste, touch,
hear,
smell.
Yeah.
That's where you want to be.
Well, and this is what you would call as, you know, Scott's always saying we have gifts and challenges in the chart. And I think this alignment, the conjunction with Venus, I would say it's a gift.
Yes.
Because Venus is what you love. Mm-hmm. So what you love is going to support you in following your North Node.
Yes.
Which is your soul's purpose.
Yes.
Which is how you're meant to individuate, how yes. you're meant to be yes. in the world. So this is like a beautiful cosmic gift that you get to just be in alignment. All you really have to do is follow what you love.
Follow what you love. Yes.
In essence.
Yes.
And you could say that really for anybody is true, but especially for you, Haley, it's astrologically really going to help get you to this place of alignment with your higher self and your soul's purpose.
Amazing.
So what a gift.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
This question is from Cassandra. I have Venus and Uranus in the 7th in Scorpio and a 4-planet stellium in the 8th in Sagittarius, the Sun, Mercury, Neptune, and Mars. I know these are important houses. What are your thoughts? All houses are important. Everything in your chart is important, just as every part of you is important, Cassandra. I would say that Venus and Uranus in the 7th in Scorpio, Venus is in a position of power, different from how it is for Haley. Haley's in a position of power because it's in Taurus. Yours is in a position of power because it's in the 7th house, which is associated with the 7th sign, which is Libra, which is the other sign that Venus rules. So Venus is in the house that it rules, the 7th house, but it's in the sign that's opposite Taurus, where it was for Haley, the question that we just answered, in Scorpio. Uranus is in Scorpio. And this means that Uranus in Scorpio, you want independence in your karmic bonds. Venus in Scorpio means you want deep, passionate, committed karmic bonds. Like you are somebody who loves very, very deeply, very passionately with 110% of yourself. While at the same time, you have this 4-planet stellium in Sagittarius. Sounds like Aaron Rodgers, the football player, because he has similar alignments here. So, but 8th house is that Scorpio energy. But 4 planets in Sagittarius, Sagittarius is that 9th house energy that we were talking about with Haley in the previous question. Sagittarius is the sign of freedom, exploration, adventure, honesty, higher learning, higher education, spirituality, ethical, being ethical. So the 8th house energy, you're very transformative. I imagine you're somebody who loves to explore, but part of the exploration is exploring the psyche. So you go on a trip or a vacation or an adventure, but there's something going on deep within you that is transforming through the experience. So I hope this is helpful to you.
Hmm. I'm really hearing with Cassandra's chart, this tension of the opposites that we were describing, that there is really this inner and outer exploration that's wanting to occur at the same time, which is really powerful and also inherently creates some tension.
Yes.
But I think also, you know, that Sagittarius energy that's wanting to travel and see the world and be in other countries, experience other cultures, is going to offer you some inner transformation. So in some ways, in some ways it's creating tension, and in other ways, I think they could inform one another in a really beautiful and interesting way.
Yes.
So I'd be curious, to hear what that's like for you, Cassandra. but also the Venus and Uranus in the 7th house, I think is really indicative of someone who's come here to transform their relationship energy and to learn maybe about embracing changes, embracing the unexpected, would you say?
That, but also, like, I imagine Cassandra's in a relationship that is non-conforming. It's not like the norm. Like, people may look as like, why is that's, I don't understand Cassandra and her relationships and this sort of stuff. Your relationships are supposed to be weird and unique and different from what the norm is. Mm-hmm. You are progressing relationships. You are progressing society, the community, into the future where they can see, wow, okay, that's a different type of relationship, but it seems to work for Cassandra. Mm-hmm. So I respect her for that. And maybe I'm interested in something like that and being in a relationship that way. I've never thought about being in a relationship in that way. Whatever that way is mm-hmm. something that can only be defined by you. So it's about embracing your independence in relationship and what it means to be mm-hmm. independent, what it means to be you in relationship.
Mm-hmm. So I guess she's really transforming relationship energy for people she comes into contact with, more so because that's innate in her way of relating to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But the transformation piece is also happening, like you said, for others who come into contact with her.
Yes.
We do have such sort of rigid, the mainstream still has rigid beliefs around what relationships need to look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these old sort of belief systems around marriage, having to sort of follow a certain path in mm-hmm. order to have a family, sort of those beliefs are, there's so many people now who are just beautiful examples like Cassandra of doing things differently in a way that is really aligned with her and her value system.
Yes.
So I think more and more we're going to be seeing, hopefully, people having the courage to really step into the kind of relationship that's best for them
mm-hmm.
instead of trying to conform.
Yes.
And the traditional path is the right path for some people too. Absolutely.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of knowing, where are you?
Are you a traditionalist or are you an outside the box person?
Right. And just letting yourself be
who you are,
wherever you are.
Yes.
Right. In that process.
Yes. One final question.
Sure.
This is from Brianna. I was wondering what my Mars and Mercury conjunction in Sagittarius in the 11th house, squaring my 0 degree Libra moon and 14 degree Jupiter in Virgo in the 8th house means. Thank you so much. Okay, well, Mars and Mercury in Sagittarius, that's just like Cassandra, except it's a different house. For Brianna, it's the 11th house. So Mercury, Mars, you are an adventurer, a truth teller, somebody who is driven to explore. You may have had conflicts with religion, organized religion. You want to be free and expressive in your actions and in your words. But the squaring to the moon in Libra, so I would imagine that is because one of these planets, okay, they're probably like it, well, see, this is where it doesn't really make sense to me, because it says my Mars and Mercury are conjunct in Sagittarius. It's squaring 0 degrees Libra moon and 14 degrees Jupiter and Virgo. I don't know how it can be squaring both, but because they're so far apart, it's a loose square. I don't know how strong the square is, but the moon in Libra is something that would be more compatible for Sagittarius, because Libra moon is air, and air works with fire. Libra moon, you're somebody who is conversational. You want to be conversational in terms of expressing your emotions and listening to how other people are feeling that you care about. You are somebody who enjoys conversation and connecting with others. Jupiter in Virgo, it's expanding the details. And there, if this is squaring Mars and Mercury, that can be part of the strain. You know, Mercury rules Virgo, Jupiter rules Sagittarius, where Mercury is. So this is that analogy again with somebody that you don't like sleeping in your bed at your house while you're away. So there's like this tension within you that wants to be free and expressive and open. But at the same time, when you think of the future, you have a hard time putting it together because you need to see all the details of how it's going to work. Mm. And so there may be a limitation of faith in some way because you're overly fixated on the details of how things are going to work. But Jupiter in the eighth house would indicate that you are fortunate in terms of karmic bonds, intimate relationships. And so maybe by attracting partners that are supporting you, see the bigger picture, satisfies your Mars and Mercury in Sagittarius, which is to actually get out there and explore and say what you want to say and not overthink things.
Yeah, I think this would be an interesting, I mean, it'd be interesting to know, we know Haley's North Node, but to know everyone's North Node, because that helps to really guide when you see that tension in the chart between being more bigger picture versus the details. It can help give you information about which one to lean into. Because most of us, you know, everyone has, we have all these paradox conflicting energies in our charts. And so the North Node can help give you information about which one to lean into. If you have really access to sort of these different energies in strong ways in the chart, like Brianna does. But I'm appreciating how Mars and Mercury being conjunct is really giving you, Brianna, a beautiful connection between how you think and how you act.
Yes.
And I think that's such a gift.
Yes. Love that.
There's this ease and this flow.
Yeah.
How you think is how you act.
Yes.
So for you, you know, maybe it's never occurred to you that it's not like that for everyone else. Maybe that's some insight. You know, we often don't really know what our gifts are until we meet, you know, we go around and we meet other people who don't have our gifts and we're like, what is wrong with everybody? You know, what's going on? Why aren't you like me?
Yes.
But we often don't recognize,
appreciate
our own gifts and appreciate that not everyone else has them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that conjunction is just a beautiful, expressive experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us in the weekly Transit Astrology Podcast. If you're curious to learn about your astrological code or how these transits are affecting you directly, contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com. Wishing you all the best as you ride the planetary waves.